Morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Mazel tov, Dan. Big Shabbos. Okay, Daf Pei Bezis today's Daf. We are back on Pei Aleph, and we're getting used to this idea of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that a shechita shein ruya, that a shechita that's not fit is ain't a shechita. It's just simply not going to be a shechita. That's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. We'll be talking about him for most of today. We've discussed in the context so far of the previous Mishnah. The first Mishnah of Osav Espino, the Gemara put out a thesis, a theory that that Mishnah doesn't fall like Rabbi Shimon. It's accurate. It's a good theory. The Gemara cited a number of different examples from the Mishnah where the Mishnah clearly is not going like Rabbi Shimon, and so it's accurate. However, what an interesting side conversation which the Gemara proposes that even according to Rabbi Shimon, if you shecht a karban, so that's also shechita sheinu ruya. Now it's hard to understand because when you shecht a karban, except for an ola, right, with one exception, but you shecht a karban, you eat it, you eat the karban. So it's kind of hard to imagine. It's a little bit difficult to understand. Why is that considered shechita sheinu ruya? So the explanation that we gave is that, yes, it's true, you're going to be able to eat a karban, but not right away, meaning that there's still more to do. After you shecht the karban, then you have to collect the blood, then you have to sprinkle the blood onto the mizbeach, so there's more involved. So the shechita by itself isn't the matir. The only thing that's the matir, I'm sorry, the only time that we call a shechita matir is when you can eat the meat immediately after the shechita, and that's not the case in the world of karbanos. So the Gemara is suggesting that according to Rabbi Shimon, even by karban, there's a shechita is not considered a shechita haru'uya. Okay, it's a big chiddush. It's an extraordinarily big chiddush, and we'll be talking a little bit more about that today. So Rav Hamanuna, yesterday on Daf Pei Aleph Amud Aleph, Rav Hamanuna essentially said it. Meaning, if you go back to the top of the Amud, Amar Rav Hamanuna, Omer Haya Rabbi Shimon, Eino Sovas Benonog Bekachim. It doesn't apply by kachim. My time, or what's the reason? So Kevin Amar Rabbi Shimon, Shechita Shein Ruyi, Lo Shema Shechita, Shechita Kachim, Nami Shechita Shein Ruyi. Says it straight out. Rav Hamanuna says straight out that it doesn't apply in the world of kachim for the reason that we explained, because you don't get to eat it immediately. Okay, good. The Gemara is bothered. The Gemara is bothered by that position because the Gemara quoted a Braisa. Now, it took a little bit of time for the Gemara to develop the Braisa because the first time the Gemara quoted the Braisa, didn't pan out so well. But then the Gemara, Chasur Mechzor V'Hachik Tani, then the Gemara gave us a full description of the Braisa. And basically, over the course of the Braisa describes how, according to Rabbi Shimon, even in the world of Kachim, there's a liability. There's Oso Vespano liability by Kachim. Okay, so Ella Amar Rava Hachikamar Rav Hamanuna. Okay, so the Gemara now is going to redact. The Gemara is going to take us basically through a new position of Rav Hamanuna. So we're on Pei Aleph Amud Aleph, and we're towards the bottom of the Amud. It's about eight lines from the bottom of the Amud. We're starting with the words Ella. So, but rather Amar Rava Hachikamar Rav Hamanuna. So the Gemara says, okay, so here's a quote of Rav Hamanuna, which is Ein Malkus Osav Espenonog Bekachim. So no, really, Osav Espino applies to Kachim as well, even according to Rabbi Shimon. And Rav Hamanuna is going to, this version of Rav Hamanuna is not going to agree with what basically I've been saying up until now, that even in the world of Kachim, it is a shechita. Of course it's a shechita. You're going to eat it. Yes, there's more process involved, but it's a shechita. And even Rabbi Shimon agrees to that. So what is at issue over here? So the Gemara says, what's at issue over here is as follows. Kaven de kama de lo zarik dam la mishtari abasar mi ina de kashachet have hasra safek va hasra safek lo shmei hasra. Okay. Now, truth of the matter is that these couple lines of Gemara can turn into a lengthier discussion. Here's what we'll do. I'll give you the simple version of the Gemara. If you would like to see later on your own, for homework, and Shabbos is coming up, you're going to have plenty of time over Shabbos, take a look at Rashi. Rashi really does not like the way the Gemara presents us these lines. Rashi says, look at the end of the Rashi. Rashi says, these lines of Gemara, somebody put them in. Now, Rashi doesn't identify who the person is. I mean, when we say person, we're talking about a Rishon. We're talking about a really old school Rishon. But Rashi writes, just look at the end. Rashi says, Uperish, it's six lines down from the bottom of Rashi. Uperish meshubashu me'adam charif u'mefulpal. Right? This, strong language. Somebody who's very sharp and somebody is a little, you know, a little confused. Put this line in. But right now, I guess we're going to be a little sharp and confused. But anyway, but say a simple pshat in the Gemara. Look, Rav Hamanunah says is that when you shecht a karban, it's a shechita, even according to Rabbi Shimon. You're going to eat it. The issue is a technical issue. You know what the issue is? When you shecht a karban, at this point in time, is it edible yet? Not yet.
No.
You need Zrika's dam. So, imagine, right? The mother was already shechted sometime this morning, and now you go to the child, and it's a karban, and you're about to shecht it. And the person says to you, oh, wait a second, don't shecht it, because mom was shechted earlier today. Osav Espino, you cannot have to shecht it. So he looks at you and he says, Afa Pekin, I'm going to shecht it anyway. Now, even if he actually does the act of shechita, right, it's not yet edible. It's not edible yet. So the warning that you provided for him isn't going to be in proximity to the actual act of the Isser. Because the act of the Isser hasn't been actually formalized yet. It won't be formalized until sprinkle the blood. And then you're allowed to eat the meat. So it's Hasrat Safek. Okay. Right. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi's so bothered by this idea that this case over here is a Sfarad Safek. Rashi takes out the whole line of the Gemara. But anyway, again, I told you there's much more to discuss about this. Right now, I'm just going to leave it at its simplicity and just read the Gemara Kipshuto, even though fully admitting Rashi does not like it. But Ein Malkus Osav Es Beno Nog Bekashen Kevin De Kamad Lo Zarek Dam Lo Mishtar Basa Mi Ina De Kashach. So the moment you shecht, have a hasra of suffix. So it is therefore an hasra of a suffix. The hasra of suffix Lo Shmei Hasra, and the hasra of a suffix is not considered hasra. The Az De Rava Latame Dama Rava. Now Rava says, look, consistent with this position, Rava says, watch Chulin Ubena Shlamim. Let's now talk about mother offspring. Mother is Chulin. Offspring is a karban. Shachat chulin v'achakach shachat shlamim. If you shech chulin, follow then by shechting shlamim. Potter, you're going to be exempt. Exempt from malchus. Why? Because when you shech the shlamim, you can't get properly warned. Because warning says don't do that, and if you do that, it's usser. Well, when you shech the carbon, it's not yet usser. It won't be usser until it's edible. And then shlamim v'achakach chulin. But if you shech the shlamim first, and that means the way we're reading the Gemara right now, shechting the shlamim, offering the blood. So that now is a shechita. Now we move to the child, and the child is not shlamim, it's just regular chulin. So now, boom, that's osav es beno, right? And here, by the child, since the child is chulin, you don't have to wait for anything, right? There's no zrikas dam, chayiv, so now you're going to be chayiv, now you're going to have full liability. Okay, again, I'm just acknowledging that I read the Gemara at the simple, as it simply presents to us. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi does not like it. Okay, but we're going to move on though. Amar Rava hi chulin uvana ola. Lo mi bai. Okay, now someone raised this issue yesterday. The Gemara now is going to discuss it straight out, which is, what about a karban ola? Meaning, according to Rabbi Shimon, shechita has to qualify if it's edible. If it's not edible, it's not a shechita. Okay? So in the world of karbanos, debatable whether or not Rabbi Shimon also calls this a shechita haruya or a shechita esha ein haruya. The last thing we just left off is the position of Rav Hamanunah and the position of Rava, which according to Rabbi Shimon, it is a shechita, since it is edible. True, there's a couple more things you got to do, but still, it's a shechita haru'uya. So, what if the carbon's a carbon ola? Nobody eats a carbon ola. Ola in its entirety, with exception to the hide, goes up onto the Mizbeach. So, what would Rabbi Shimon... Huh? Okay, good. So the Gemara says, look, if I shech first the chulin and afterwards I shech the carbon ola, that you're going to be pater. But even if I shech the ola and afterwards I shech the chulin, it's going to be pater. Shechita kamaisalav shechita basachilahi. So the first position the Gemara takes is ola is not shechita. Right? I know I confuse you when I say things like that, but and I don't really want to.
Something else.
It's, but in the world of Osav Espino, in other words, when we say what is legally a shechita, it has to be a shechita that results in eating. And according to the first position taken in the Gemara, that's not a shechita because nobody's eating it. Rabbi Yaakov disagrees. Phil, this is where you come in. Rav Yaakov says, Rav Yaakov Amar Rav Yochanan Achilas Mizbech Shema Achila. No. Because you talk about Achila, you talk about eating, Mizbech is eating as well. Right? We've talked about this time and again. We've gone through Zvachim, we've gone through Menachos. You're used to hearing this type of talk. The Gemara says, no, the Mizbech is considered an Achila. Chatzas HaPanimi. Chatzas HaPanimi, very good. Parts of it go up onto the Mizbech. The Imurim, right? The insides of it go up onto the Mizbech. But you're right, though.
The one that
entirely is burned outside, which one is it? Talking about Paraduma. Okay. And no, I mean, there's Paras and Nisrafin. There are, right? Right, but still, some of it goes up onto the Mizbech. The Imurim, just the insides. So the Gemara says, "Shmachilah, my time and dama kravim heachol yeachel mi baser zevach shlamav." So the Torah says regarding the shlamim, "Heachol yeachel." What's the double language? You're going to eat. What does that mean? So the Gemara says, "Shteachilas akasav medaber." Torah is talking about two types of eating: achas achilas adam, achas achilas mizbech. Correct. A person is considered a consumer, and the mizbech is considered a consumer. So that's in the world of shlamim. So now we're just going to take this idea and apply it to a carbon ola. You have a carbon ola. None of it's going to people. All of it's going on to Mizbech. It doesn't matter. That's also considered Achila. So shechting a carbon ola, according to the second opinion in the Gemara, Rav Yaakov, shechting an ola is considered shechita, even according to Rabbi Shimon. Okay, because it's a shechita haru'uya. Who's eating it? The Mizbech. Okay, we move to the next Mishnah, but we're not going to move really from the topic of discussion. Topic of discussion is, what is considered shechita? The Torah says, Osav Esmenolo Sishchetu B'Yamachad. You're not allowed to shecht the mother and offspring on the same day. So what is considered shechita? So it's subject to a debate. According to the Chachamim, shechita is an act. In other words, it's just simply taking a knife and running it along the neck of the animal. According to Rabbi Shimon, shechita is much more than an act. Shechita, by definition, has to allow you to eat the food. If it doesn't allow you to eat the food, it's by definition not a shechita. Okay? Aaron, you're going to add this to our list. I'm thinking out loud right now. We're going to add this to our list, meaning, remember we talked about in the beginning, and I spoke about on Shabbos, right, with shechita mati or shechita mitzvah.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So I'm just thinking out loud. Perhaps this machlokus between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon also fits into this discussion. According to the Chachamim, shechita is a mitzvah, meaning I don't have to eat the animal, meaning just the act of shechita by itself is a significant act. Whereas according to Rabbi Shimon, no, the shechita by definition needs to be a matir. If it's not a matir, it's not a shechita. So it could be that this issue of mitzvah versus matir is what's going on between the Chacham and Rabbi Shimon. Okay, add another one to the...
With the olo,
huh? With
the olo.
Yeah.
Could have answered also maybe on the sofek, because the same thing is going to
look down,
no?
That's Rasof.
So it could have answered the same thing.
Yeah, right.
Right,
because you don't know. Correct, you don't know. Right, again, if you look at Rashi doesn't even want to talk about Hasra Sufik in this whole context. Okay, Hashoche B'nimtza Trefa. So now we're going to go through a number of permutations of this machlokus between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim. So number one, and it's all going to be the same thing, just different examples. It's all going to be, you shecht an animal, but you can't eat it. So is that a shechita or is that not a shechita? So we know the answer. The correct answer is machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon. But now we're going to see a number of examples of how this plays out. Hashochev v'nimsa, a treifa. So number one, you shecht it, and the animal turns out to be a treifa. So you can't eat it. Okay, example number two. Hashochev l'avodah zarah. Funny example, right? You shecht an animal for idolatry, which makes the animal prohibited. Aser ba'achila, aser ba'hana. You can't get benefit from such an animal. Hashochet paras chatas, shechting the paraduma. Paraduma has a nickname of paras chatas. Right? It's not, whatever. So the vishur haniskal, an ox gored somebody to death. So such an ox has to be killed, right? You take the ox, you put it to, take it to court, stands trial in front of 23 judges.
23 and, bulls.
23, a court of 23. It's dine nefashos, and it's put to death. Okay, and it is aser ba'achila, aser ba'hana'a. Now, after the gemar din, after the shechita, machlokas. But Rashi over here writes after the Gemar Din. After the Gemar Din already, it's also Bahana. Okay, if I remember correctly, Rabbeinu Tam argues. Okay, not here, not now. Okay, another time. Egla, okay, sure, Haniskal, Egla Arufa. Egla Arufa is the calf that's brought down into the valley, right? The Hard Rock Valley. And it is axed, it is hatcheted on the back of the neck, right? We all know the story, death found between two cities. We measure which city is more proximate. Okay, we're all familiar. Okay, that calf is aser ba'achila, aser ba'hana. Can't get benefit from it. So again, a number of scenarios in the Mishnah in which you shecht, but you can't eat it. You can't, some of them you can't eat, some of them you can't even get benefit from. So what is the what is the din? Rabbi Shimon poter v'chachamim mechayven. So Rabbi Shimon says you're poter, and the chachamim say you're going to be chayev. Meaning that if you shecht this animal together with its parent or offspring, Rabbi Shimon says, this is not a shechita. Since it doesn't result in eating, it therefore is not a shechita. And the Chachamim say, no. Shechita doesn't have to permit achila. Shechita is a maisa. Shechita is simply an act. Consequently, according to the Chachamim, it is in fact a shechita. So if you shecht this and its parent or this and its offspring on the same day, you violate the Isser Vos of Espino. It's not a Maaseh Shechita. Right.
But it wouldn't be even also than that.
Right.
Does Rabbi Shimon argue with all of them? Because Paradibu was never going to result in Shechita.
Right. So the Gemara is going to go through an assortment of take this one out, take that one out, take this one out. We're going to have a couple of Eino Mishnas coming up. Okay, very good. Hashochev and Isnavla Biyado. You shecht it and you I was going to say you butchered it. Okay, you're right. You didn't do a good shechita, right? Rashi, I don't know why Rashi says shalom midas. I mean, it could be also you did a midas as well. Maybe Rashi's telling us even if it's shalom midas, point is it wasn't successful. You did shehiya, you did hagrama, you did chalada, you botched it up. Hanocher. Or if you do nechira, that's why Rashi says it, because nechira is deliberately and intentionally killing the animal without doing a proper shechita. So then nocher and isnavla, pretty much the same thing. Okay, I'm answering my own question. Maybe. Okay, so nocher, just kill the animal. Hamaakir, you rip the simanim right out of the neck of the animal. Pater mishemosavis. But no, there's no debate. Of course, because that's not a shechita. Meaning the only time there's a debate is where there is a shechita, but you can't eat the animal. So now we have machlok between the Chacham and Rabbi Shimon. But if there's no shechita whatsoever, obviously, you're not going to be in violation of Osav Espino, because that's not a shechita. Amr Shimon Malakish Loshenu Elo Sheshachar Rishon L'Avodazar V'Shein L'Shulchano Avar Rishon L'Shulchano V'Shein L'Avodazar Apatu Dekam Le'Bed Rabbi Mine. Okay, Gemara takes us to a classic topic of discussion. Classic. One of the examples given in the Mishnah is shechting for Avodah Zarah. Okay, now everyone here understands what's about to happen. The person shechts an animal for Avodah Zarah, he's an idolater, practicing idolatry. Okay, that's capital crime, capital punishment. Okay, so the person had been issued a warning in front of two witnesses, etc., etc., so he's going to be put to death. Skila. Okay, now... Now that that's on the table, so we have klal gadol, big rule when it comes to corporal punishment, which is one, not two. Right? It's what we call kimle b'derabim inei, that when a person is, with one act, facing multiple consequences and multiple punishments with that one act, so kederish also, you only give him one, not two. Which one? The greater one. That gets us to the kerm of kimle Bidaraba mine. You give him the greater of the two. So, if one punishment is capital punishment, meaning execution, and the other one is only malchus, lashes, obviously the greater of the two is going to be the execution, which means that he gets a pass, he gets an exemption from the malchus. OK, Okay, you know, it's like I got good news and bad news for you. which one do you want to hear first? Okay, here's the good news. You're not going to get Malchus. Okay. Okay, you ready for the bad news?
No, you're
definitely right. I mean, the Gemara in Malchus deals with many scenarios where you're going to get more than one. Right, we're not dealing with we're just dealing with the conceptual idea of one, not two, the greater one of the two. So Reish Lakish says, so think about it like this, meaning you have now a scenario where we're talking about two Isurim. One is Avodah Zarah, and two is Osav Esbeno. So if what your action does results in both, so Reish Lakish says, you're not going to get both, you're only going to get one. Okay, good, that we all know. In fact, Look at his brother-in-law's response. Amalei Rav Yochanan zu afilu tinokos shel beis Rabbam yodin. Okay, so Rav Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, you can't come into the beis medrash this morning and start telling people, you know, kids can tell you that. I mean, that's, you know, okay. Look, you know, they had a wonderful relationship, and you know, they spoke a little strongly to one another. Part of the relationship. So afilu tinokos shel beis Rabban yodinosa ela pamim shafilu shacharishon l'shochanu v'sheni la'avodah zarah chayev. So Rav Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, let me give you one that maybe the tinokos shel beis Rabban does not know. Let's up the chiddush, and that's as follows. We could be even talking about a scenario where I shech the first one for your own shulchan, for your own table, meaning you literally set the table. Okay, you shech the parent. And you can even be talking about a case where I shecht the child on the same day for avodah zarah, and you're going to get malchus. How? How's that going to happen? Kegon da'asru be mishum osav esbeno v'lo asru be mishum avodah zarah. And Rav Yochanan says to his brother-in-law Reish Lakish, "Look, let's talk about the following scenario. Second animal again. First animal was shechted already today, so now we're in place to violate the isur of osav esbeno." Now, with the second animal, the person comes along, takes a knife, and shechs the second animal, and says, I'm shechting it for avodah zarah. And the person coming over and warning him, for reasons which I don't understand, but it doesn't matter, says to him, look, you know, you're violating an issur in the Torah of osav esbeno. And he's and the warner, and the person who's giving us rough, knows fully well that he's also interested in avodah zarah. The person stating so for the record, I'm being over to avodah zarah with this animal, but for whatever reason, the Baal Hasra, the person giving Hasra, only warns them about Malchus and Osav Esbeno, and doesn't warn him about avodah zarah. Okay. So Rav Yochanan says to his brother-in-law, Reish Lakish, you're only going to get Malchus for Osav Esbeno, and you're not going to get execution for avodah zarah. Now, we all knew that.
Wait.
We all knew that, but what Rav Yochanan is saying is a huge chiddush, meaning that if the only time we say kimle b'deraba mine is only if you're actually going to be getting the larger punishment, meaning that there's hasra and there's edim, but if you're not actually going to get it, so then you go to the lesser punishment. Kimle b'deraba mine, says Rav Yochanan, is only in practice, I'll give the one over the other. But if it's latent, meaning that the crime that you're committing is a capital crime, but you weren't aware of it and you weren't given a warning and you're not going to be punished for it. So Rav Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, that's, we're not going to say kimle b'derabim ineh. Good. And now the Gemara says, now you understand Reish Lakish argues. And Reish Lakish is saying a very big chiddush. Meaning, even in that case, Reish Lakish is telling you, no, we're going to say kimle b'derabim ineh. Look inside. Let's see this inside first, and then we'll go on. Just wait 1 second. I mean, the answer is going to be yes, but just wait 1 second.
He wasn't warned about the
Avodah Zarah, but he was warned about Osav Esbeno. So he'll get Malchus. And Reish Lakish and Malchus Amar Kevin Dechi Asru Bei Pater Kilo Asru Bei Nami Pater. If you're going to get warned, and that's an exemption, even if you don't get warned, it's going to be an exemption. Meaning what Reish Lakish is essentially teaching us, and it's a big chiddush, of Reish Lakish, is that the idea of Kimle B'derabe Minei is that if there are two punishments that are there, not that you're actually facing, but in other words, the crime itself is generating two punishments, the larger punishment, even if it's latent, even if it's not actualized, is going to override and supersede the smaller one. So that means, according to Reish Lakish, I don't want to say getting away with it, because it's not a, this is not an, right, you can't look at our form of punishment as the end all be all, meaning it's not going to be, there's an ultimate judge, there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu, right, meaning that even if nobody says anything to him about Avodah Zarah, meaning according to Reish Lakish, someone comes over to him and says, you know, you're about to violate the Isser Vosav Es, but no, you're not allowed to shech the mother and sword on the same day. And he says nothing about the Avodah Zarah, Reish Lakish will tell you, I'm still going to employ the rule of Kimle B'derabe Minei. We're still going to say that the greater crime of Avodah Zarah is all going to override and supersede the smaller crime of Vosav Es, but no. And you're not going to get Malkus. And that's a tremendous chiddush, because you're not actually meeting out two punishments.
The warning is not needed for anything then.
According to Reish Lakish, that's absolutely correct. Meaning the warning for Osav Espino will not be heeded, will not be regarded. Now, you think that's a big chiddush, we're going to say the same chiddush, even in a different area, which results in even a bigger chiddush.
One question. If the guy is over Avodah Zarah, why would the Shechita count in the first place?
Over the what?
If the guy is over Avodah Zarah, why would the Shechita count in the
first place?
No, but we said at the beginning of the Masechta, they said if somebody is over the Zohar, the Shechita doesn't count. So why would the Shechita count in the first place?
If he's a Momer L'Avodah Zarah, then you're correct. You're right. Then the Shechita is absolutely nothing. It's as if the animal died on its own. Right. Sorry, it's like a guy shechting.
Right.
Right. Agreed. It's a good point. Okay. Bigger Chiddush. Okay. Va'azdu l'ta'amayhu. The Gemara says, yeah, and they're consistent. Meaning, on this issue, Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish is so consistent. It's so interesting, by the way. Now that I go back to the Gemara that we read earlier, I'm assuming Rav Yochanan knows that his brother-in-law feels this way. So, I'm just wondering out loud, what is Rav Yochanan saying to Reish Lakish? Come on, even a Tinokushal based rabbin, even a school child knows that. Meaning, what's coming out of Reish Lakish is not a simple statement of Kimle B'derabe Minei. It's a very sophisticated point of that we're going to say Kimle B'derabe Minei even if you don't actually get the bigger punishment. So, you know, just...
But he's saying for himself, he's saying, right. In defending himself, he's saying that I knew this and this is my...
Right. Okay. Correct. That's correct. And Reish Lakish says, still, we're going to still employ the rule of Kimle B'derabene. Bigger Chiddush Azdu L'Tamayu D'Chiyas Rav Dimi Amar Chayve Misa Shogigin V'Chayve Malkus Shogigin V'Davar Acher. Let's say you do something that incurs a death penalty, but you don't even do it b'mezid. You don't even do it intentionally. So, for example, on Shabbos, I go over to my neighbor's house, and let's think of something that's Mechal Shabbos. And I tear his clothing. I light his clothing on fire. Good. Okay, excellent. Right? I light his clothing on fire. So in that...
Deliberately.
What I'm deliberate about is damaging his clothing. Because when it comes to monetary law, we never make a distinction between on purpose or by accident. Adamuat la'olam. A person, when it comes to monetary liability... You're always right. It's an accident. We don't. In monetary law, there's no accident. Meaning, it is an accident. In other words, I don't want to. But you still got to pay. You're still on the hook. So you go over to your neighbor's house on Shabbos and you light his clothing on fire. Okay. So with that one act of lighting something on fire, you would now incur, right? You violate the Isser and Shabbos of Mavir. You lit a fire, and you damage his clothing. So Reish Lakish says, even if you were a shogeg, meaning you forgot that today was Shabbos. Shogeg. You no, in other words, you were totally prepared to burn his clothing, right? You had issues with him. But in terms of Shabbos, you were a shogeg. So Reish Lakish says, you're going to be exempt from having to pay him. Why? Kimle bidarabamine. Because there's a greater punishment. And here, you understand how big a chiddush is. It's not even that it's not actualized, meaning he forgot that today was Shabbos. But still, the fact of the matter is that since the act contained in this act is an Isser Shabbos, so therefore the monetary liability that comes alongside it is going to be overridden and overshadowed by the Chilul Shabbos that was involved. And he's exempt from liability. He doesn't. He forgot. Shogeg. No, of course not. He's not going to get kares. There is no kares. It's shogeg. There is no kares. He didn't know. He forgot. He forgot. He forgot that today was Shabbos. Right. His anger. Very good, Aaron. His anger. He was so angry. He forgot. Okay. It's a big chiddush. It's a huge chiddush. It's that, no, that it's according to Reish Lakish, according to Reish Lakish, since the act that you're doing is not in theory, it is a capital crime. In this particular scenario, there's no punishment because he was b'shogeg. There's no corporal punishment, there was a shogeg. If afterwards he remembers and says, oh my gosh, I just violated Shabbos, so he has to bring a carbon chatas, okay, because he violated, he was mechal Shabbos b'shogeg, he has to bring a carbon chatas. Okay, but still, the idea is that the act involved Chilul Shabbos. Okay.
So it doesn't matter. There was a potential.
Correct.
The potential goes away, or the potential just stays.
It's.
He's not going to get even. Rabbi Reish Lakish thinks that there would be no kares whatsoever.
But again, the term kares over here doesn't apply. Because karis means you.
In general,
yeah. But the karis doesn't go.
Away?
No, it doesn't go away. It's there.
So it's, this guy has been warned about Shabbat, he would get the karis.
Correct. He'd been warned. Well, if he'd been warned, he gets more than karis. Right. If he gets warned.
If
he knew it was Shabbos, and without warning, if he knew it was Shabbos, he was going to get karis, of course.
The potential is
there. Yeah. Okay, and Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayev, and Rabbi Yochanan says you're going to be Chayev. Reish Lakish Amar Pater, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayev, the Halo Asr Bey, Reish Lakish Amar Pater, the Kevin, the Kay Asr Bey, Kilo Asr Bey, Nami Pater. So, and again, it comes out to the same thing. Rabbi Yochanan says, we only say Kimle Bederabe Mine if you're actually looking at two punishments. So, if you're looking at a capital punishment and the obligation to pay, so then you don't have to pay. But if you're not actually looking at two punishments and it's only latent, so we don't say Kimle B'derabe Minem. And Reish Lakish says no. Even if the greater punishment is not actualized, but it's there, it's latently there, so Reish Lakish says you're not going to have to, you're going to be exempt from the lighter one. Utsricha. Now, here's the Gemara in classic form, where I see the machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish in the case of Avodah Zarah and Osav Esbeno, and I see it now in the case of... right, chayve misus and money. It's the same basic idea. Meaning, why is Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish arguing about it on these two issues? It's really the same principle, just repeating itself. Utsricha, the Gemara says no. Diash mina baha baha kam Rav Yishem amalakish ava baha ima modele le Rav Yochanan v'itmar baha baha kam Rav Yochanan ava baha ima modele le Rav Yishem amalakish tzricha. The Gemara says they're both necessary. The Gemara is not really that particularly clear about why they're both necessary. Rashi explains it like this. Right, so insightful Rashi. Rashi says, look, in the case of Malkus and Misa, meaning our case, right, of Avodah Zarah and Osav Esbeno, what is the person looking at? Capital punishment and Malkus. You understand, really, it's a repeat. Meaning, okay, you're going to stand right over there, you're going to get lashed, and afterwards we're going to kill you. Like, you understand, like, the basic idea is that he's gonna take a beating, and so basically, you know what? Let's skip the Malkus, okay? Let's just go straight to the capital. Let's go to the execution, okay? So you understand how that is being repeated, and so there, I get it. Right? One, not two. In the case of Mammon and Misa, there really are two different issues. I go over to my neighbor's house, I burn his clothing on Shabbos. There are two issues, and there really are two separate issues. One issue is my own personal liability for violating the Shabbos, right? Either actualized or not actualized, but in other words, I'm looking at a capital crime, I may be executed. And the other issue is my money.
How much is
he? Right? Money.
If your money is more precious than your life.
Correct. But it's a different issue. It's me versus my money. So I can actually see how Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan may have capitulated to one another on these two issues. Meaning, if it is Malkus and Misa, so I could see Malkus, Misa, come on, it's a repeat. You're just basically saying the same thing over twice. So I could see over there how, okay, fine, one but not two. But if it's Mammon and Misa, or Mammon and Malkus, you could actually make the argument that really are two separate issues. And I could, you know, and not one not and not the other, but actually both. Even if one of them is just latent, I'd actually say both.
Money also involves somebody else.
Also true. Right, correct.
Which is,
correct, absolutely correct. All right. So tzricha, so therefore they're both needed. Paras chata shchita shein ruihi, and now the Gemara is going to nitpick, in a good way I'm saying, is going to nitpick on the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah, they gave a number of examples of what is a shchita she'ena ru'uya. So one of the things that was mentioned in the Mishnah was paras chatas, paraduma. Really. So the Gemara says, that's a shchita she'ena ru'uya, but I tell you, we'll learn to the Rabbi Shimon Omar, para metam mitumas ochlin. Hova haisala shasa kosher. So, para, meaning the paraduma, is metam mitumas ochlin. Right? Now,
if it's edible.
Tumas ochlin, meaning if something's a food, it's subject to being tame. Paraduma. So the Gemara, so Rashi explains, Avagav d'amar Rabbi Shimon, perakam d'becharos de'isor ha'anak, kagon shor neskol petor chamor, imetam tumas ochlin, v'nafkalim mikol ha'ochel asher ye'achel. Look, we're going to learn in the beginning of Becharos. In order for something to be subject to tumas ochlin, it has to be edible. If something's asur behanav, you're not allowed to benefit from something. We can't call it achila, we can't call it ochel, we can't call it food. He agrees that in the world of Paraduma, it gives us Tumas Ochlin. How does that work? So we have to read it on the Gemara. At one point in time, it had a Shasa Kosher. Why? Top of Pei Beis Amud Aleph. V'amar Yishamon Lakish. Omer Hayar Yishamon. Paraniftes Agabe Ma'arachta. Because you have a paraduma. You're about to shecht it. Someone says, hold on 1 second. I found a better one. It's better. I don't know how we're going to say better in the world of paraduma. It's redder. It's bigger. It's fuller. I got a better one. Okay? It's more expensive. Whatever. However, we're going to gauge. One is right. One is acceptable. Maybe I got one that has zero. That's good. That's very good. Could be. I got one that's better. Rabbi Shimon says, what you can do now with this paraduma, you are makdish, you sanctified as a paraduma. So what Rabbi Shimon teaches us is that what you can do is right before Shechita, you could say, you know what? I'm going to be poded. Right? We're gonna go for an upgrade. I'm sorry, even one step further than that. Even after you shecht it, but before you burned it, I could still upgrade. Now, upgrading means take this animal, redeem it, because it has Kedusha. Now, you remember, by the way, you can't do that by a carbon. You can't do that by a regular carbon. But this is paraduma. This is not a regular carbon. Right? The blood doesn't go onto the Mizbeach. This is done outside the base of Mikdash. It has Kedusha's damim, not Kedusha's aguf. So you could do it. You could redeem it. And Rabbi Shimon says, even after you shecht it, you could redeem it. Now, we're going to also add one more point. We're going to add one more point because, what do you mean? You could redeem it, but are you or are you not? Rabbi Shimon is consistent. Kol ha'ome, this is Rashi. Kol ha'ome liftos kepadui dami. That if it stands to be redeemed, we're going to look at it as if it's redeemed. And so therefore, now we go back and now we understand that Rabbi Shimon says that your paraduma is metame tumas ochlin. Right, because since it could be redeemed, so Rabbi Shimon goes even one step further, we'll look at it as if it's redeemed, and therefore it is considered a food. Even if all this is just latent, and I didn't actually do it, it doesn't matter, it's still considered a food. Now that we're all the way over here, so now we understand the Gemara's question. Paraduma is ochel. considered food. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Shimon bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan paras katas eino mishnah. Okay, so the Gemara says, take your pencils, turn it over, and take out paras katas. Take it out from the Mishnah. Doesn't belong in the Mishnah. Meaning, the basic point of the Mishnah, we're going to hold on to it very good. If it doesn't result in achila, it's not considered shechita. The only thing we're going to do is we're going to take out this example. Because according to Rabbi Shimon, it could be an achila.
Isn't Rabbi Yochanan an Amora?
Yes, he is.
How could he edit the Mishnah?
He did. I'm not giving you good answers.
I mean, I could be Rabbi doing that.
Yeah, okay. All right. He feels that this wasn't part of the Mishnah. Meaning, whoever copied this Mishnah down.
It isn't right about the Mishnah.
Okay. It's a big statement. You're right. I'm not making a big enough deal about the idea that we're just going to take this out of the Mishnah. It is a big deal. The Egla Arufa Lav Shechita Ru'uyehi. Now let's move on in the Mishnah. Another example given in the Mishnah is Egla Arufa. Okay, you take a calf and you hatchet the calf in the back of the neck, and that's considered a Shechita She'ein Ru'uyeh because you're not allowed to eat it. The Hatanan, the Gemara says, well, what about the following Mishnah? Okay, Mishnah in Sota, which is Nimtza HaHoreg. Let's say you find the killer. The only reason why we're going through this whole process of the Egla Arufa is because we don't know who the killer is. Right? Kapar na l'amcha Yisrael, like, this should be a kapara. Because justice has not been served. Okay, but we find the horeg, we find the killer.
This means it's already been designated.
It was already designated. Ad shelo te'aref ha'agala teitza v'tira ba'eder. Now, if you didn't hatchet the neck of the animal yet, so let the animal go. All right. Teta v'tira be'eder. Is there any kedushas damen?
Does it just go out to be?
No.
Is it going to be?
Well, just wait one second. So I'm Rishim Malakish, Mishim Rabbi Yana, Egla Rufa in a Mishnah. So the Gemara says, okay, the Egla Rufa shouldn't be part of the corpus of our Mishnah. Take it out of the Mishnah. I know another one. Okay. Umi Amar Rav Yana Hachev, Aham Rav Yana Gvul Shemati Bav Shechachti. So Rav Yana, we have another statement of Rav Yana. We've seen the statement a number of times through Shas, which is Gvul Shemati. I heard that there's a border, meaning. Border over here means a legal border. There's a parameter in which the Egla Arufa becomes absolutely forbidden even before you shecht it. Now, I know, in the back of my mind, I know that there's this parameter, there's such a border. I forgot.
Physical border?
No. Well, actually, yes. But there's some time, at one point, there's a point of no return where the Egla Arufa becomes status-wise Egla Arufa. I forgot. And I know it. So Viniz bin Chaver Lamar, so I get together with my Chaverim and we do a little memory session, memory aid session. Like help me remember. And he says like this, Yerida Sala Nachal, I'm sorry, Lanachal Esan Osra Sa. Once you actually bring it down to the valley. Now even here I don't exactly know what we're talking about, meaning right the right, in other words, they would take it to a certain place. So once they start descending, at that point in time now, it is an Egla Arufa. Even prior to you hatcheting it, it is an Egla Arufa.
So you find the guy, the murderer.
At that point, it's too late. So now, basically, according to this statement to Rav Yanai, we can preserve the Mishnah as it is, at least this line of the Mishnah, because now we understand that the Egla Arufa has a status of Egla Arufa even prior to you hatcheting it. So the Gemara now says, look, before you actually take it down into the valley, I'm with you. It doesn't have to be an Egla Arufa. But once you take it down into the valley, at that point in time, it is now an Egla Arufa.
Like Stuart said earlier, it's not really Shechita, though. It's on the back.
If you, that Michael, that's an excellent point. Where's Rashi? Rashi, all the way back in the Mishnah, Rashi, all the way back in the Mishnah says that we're only discussing a scenario in which you shechted it. You're correct, Michael. In other words, if you hatch it from the back of the neck, that's certainly not a shechita, and then obviously there's not going to be osoves, but no. Amra Pinchas Breda Rav Ami Anna Mishmed Rav Shem Amalakish Masnitz Nala. Egla Rufa Ina Mishnah. Okay, you're right. If we quote it in the name of Rav Yanai, it can't be Rav Yanai, because Rav Yanai obviously feels that the Egla Rufa has the status of an Egla Rufa, even before you kill it. However, we could say in the name of Reish Lakish, Amar Ravashi Kavina Bei Rav Papi Kashilan, Omi Amar Reish Malakish Hachi Vaha Itmar. So the Gemara says, even in the name of Reish Lakish, I don't buy it. Why? Because consider the following. Sipor Mitzor Me'emasai Ne'asar. And when do the birds of the Mitzor become Asar? Right? The first process of the birds, of the Mitzora is to take two birds, shecht one and let the other one go free. Okay? And at what point do those birds become Tziporim, meaning status-wise, they become the Tziporim of the Mitzora. So Rav Yochanan Amar Misha Shechita. So Rav Yochanan says from the point of Shechita. But you only get to shecht one of the two birds. And Rav Shimon Melakish Amar Misha Sekicha. And Reish Lakish says no, from the time that you actually acquire them for the purposes of the Mitzora. The Amrinan. And on that position of Reish Lakish, what do we say? My time of the Rav Shimon Melakish. So Gamar Kicha Kicha Mi Egla Arufa. He learns it from Gzera Shavra. And the Gzera Shavra takes us to Egla Arufa. That means that according to Reish Lakish, the Egla Arufa from the point of purchase has the status of Egla Arufa.
Why don't we argue like the red heifer and say maybe they'll find better birds?
Right, but that's not the case over here. Meaning, by the case of the birds and by the case of the Egla Arufa, at a certain point, and that point according to Reish Lakish is Kicha. The Gemara doesn't.
That Egla Rufa gets a pass for life. He gets the grace.
Right. I mean, the Gemara does not argue that, because apparently it's not true by the birds and it's not true by the Egla Rufa. So now, if that's true, so even Reish Lakish will have to keep the Egla Rufa in our Mishnah as well, because the Egla Rufa is Ne'eseres Michaim, becomes prohibited even while it's alive. So good. So it's a good example in the Mishnah as well. Elam Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Rabbi Yochanan, Egla Rufa in the Mishnah. So. We know it's not Rabbi Yanai, we know it's not Reish Lakish, so it's Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan will, in fact, delete it from the Mishnah. It's interesting now, because it comes out now that Rav Yochanan actually twice is going to remove two cases in the Mishnah, because it can come out that according to Rav Yochanan, the Shechita could result in an Achila. In the case of the Paraduma, it could result in the Achila, and in the case of Egla Arufa, it could result in the Achila as well.
These cases are never considered by any of the Tanaim.
Agreed. It's a big Kiddush. Okay, let's do one more. Let's do one more Mishnah.
Maybe he wrote it and then he was at it somehow.
Right. I mean, that's what Rav Yochanan's going to argue.
Yeah,
okay. One more Mishnah, one more Gemara for today, and that's the following. Okay, great scenario. Look, we've been discussing also Vesbano. Okay, so practically speaking, I go to the farmer and I buy an animal from him. Okay? And my friend, a little company coming alongside with me, says, oh, I'd like one also. Ring me up. Right? Put it on my tab. I want to buy an animal as well. And the farmer sells to my friend with me. He sells Beno. Sells the son of the animal. So now, me and my friend look at one another. We look at one another and say, wait a second. If I shecht my animal today, you got to wait till tomorrow. But wait a second. If you shecht your animal today, I got to wait till tomorrow. Who has first rights? Says the Mishnah. Shnaim shalachu paru v'na ezer shalakach rishon yishchat rishon. V'im kadam hasheni zacha. So the Mishnah is so ambiguous. The Mishnah starts off by saying that the one who buys it first has the first right. Okay. I know.
The other guy always has the option of returning the animal and getting another one.
I know. And then the Mishnah says, it's a very, very ambiguous Mishnah. And then the Mishnah says, but that second guy, if he shechts his first, zacha. Yeah. He was zocha.
This is before Selta.
I understand. Now, Amar Rav Yosef, le'inyan dina tanan. We're learning this Mishnah. This Mishnah is not an Isser v'heter Mishnah. This Mishnah is monetary law. Meaning, really, this Mishnah belongs in Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Basra. It's not. It's you know. It's it. We're not. We shouldn't be learning this in Kachim.
But it's like a, even there, it's like a grama kind of case. It's a,
okay. Im, right. So le'inyan dina tanan. Tana, we learned in a brisa im kadam hasheni harezezariz v'niskar. The brisa gives two adjectives to describe this person. He is zariz. He's quick, and niskar, and he profits. Zariz delo avidi. So now. The fact that he shechted his animal first, that means good. He saved himself from Isurim. That's what the word zariz means. Niskar, he profits to ka'achal bisra, because he gets to eat the meat today, and the other person's going to have to wait till tomorrow. Okay, really, there's a bigger discussion in terms of how to understand the Mishnah, because you understand the ambiguity of the Mishnah. The first person really has the first rights, and then the second person, if he goes and he jumps the gun, it's difficult to process those two statements of the Mishnah side by side. Needs more elaboration. Tomorrow we continue. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos. We start with the new Mishnah tomorrow.